Hope everyone's having a great weekend. This is our week in review. A look back at some of the most compelling segments of this past week. Brand new episodes back again Monday morning at 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Alec Murdaugh, we now know where he is at. We now know what kind of conditions he is living in while in prison. And I'm curious to get some insight into what sort of risks he is facing, what sort of life he's going to be leading behind bars, and to help us kind of put those pieces together and understand really what he is facing is Nima Rahmani. He is the president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, one of the best in the business out there. Nima, thanks for joining us. I'm curious, first of all, give us some insight as to the type of risks that Alex will be facing behind bars.
A significant risk, because he's someone that obviously comes from a family of prosecutors, his father, his grandfather, famously there in South Carolina. And that's why, you know, for someone like, you know, Derek Chauvin and George Floyd, he wanted to serve his time in federal prison, right? Mm-hmm. Plead to federal charges. He doesn't want to be in state prison with some of the buddies, his old friends that he's prosecuted. So if you're Alex Murdaugh and you're the corrections officers there, you got to make sure that he's isolated for his own safety.
With something like that, how long do they keep an individual like an Alec Murdaugh isolated for their own safety? Is that like an indefinite thing, or does that go up over time?
It really is. You know, if someone that, you know, we're kind of seeing it with like a Ghislaine Maxwell, someone that might be at risk, someone that might be on suicide watch. So, you know, obviously, Alex Murdaugh, I mean, he's not someone that has done any type of time, right? So, I mean, he's at risk to himself. I mean, others may pose a risk to him as well. So as long as it takes, I mean, your job as, you know, a prison or a jail is to make sure that inmates don't hurt one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to do when you're dealing with someone like Alex, that's a high risk inmate.
Is that, I mean, it obviously is a form of special treatment that is being given to someone of a you know, high profile case. Is it a luxury, though? I mean, it's weird to say luxury when we're talking about a prison, but being separated, not having to have a bunkmate, things of that nature. One would almost on the outside hope Alec is living a rough life in prison. But if he's separated from so many people, is that rough or, you know, is it not? I mean, I guess being more isolated could in itself be torture on its own.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't spent any time in prison, but I can tell you from the lawyers I talked to, no one wants to be in the SHU, the special housing unit. Usually yep. You're there for 23 hours a day. Maybe you're out for 1 hour mm-hmm. supervised. That is not a fun place to be, isolated by yourself for the vast majority of the way, separated from the general population. Sure, you may be safe, but I think that's more of a punishment than a reward for inmates.
And that's an interesting thing to think about, because I think sometimes people do take it the other direction. But if you think of that, yeah, that seems very, very true. Alec is due back in court on the 21st for a status hearing on the other 99 financial crimes that he faces. Is this something where we're going to see him back in court again on a regular basis at some point, or would he be being represented, you know, just basically by attorneys and not physically present at future trials?
I mean, he will have the right to be there. He'll have to be read over if the prosecution wants to proceed. It is a bit of a belt and suspenders approach, but Alex did admit to committing all sorts of financial crimes. There are some decent arguments on appeal in the murder case. The judge let a lot of prior bad acts evidence come in. Mm-hmm. You know, appellate courts don't like it. And again, the judge said that the defense opened the door, but if I'm the prosecution, and the fact that whether it's a Tom Girardi or it's Alex Murdaugh, that you really want to kind of prosecute these bad lawyers who steal money from clients. Obviously, we're not talking about murder victims here, but we're talking about folks who have been seriously injured or lost a family member, and their attorney stole millions of dollars from them. So you do want to give them that justice. So I think because of the potential appellate issues in the murder case, as well as the strength and the importance of the financial crimes, obviously Alex admitted to all of them, we are going to see a trial in the financial crimes case as well.
How strong of a chance at an appeal do you think Alec Murdaugh has?
I think he's got a decent shot because, you know, I mean, the judge let in all this evidence of financial crimes, right? Mm-hmm. All this evidence of drug and opioid use. The only thing the judge kept out really was sort of the affair was pretty dated that Alex committed. But, you know, if you saw the murder case, we spent more time talking about, you know, the accounting and the finances and all these other financial crimes and these clients that were ripped off. You had these sort of trials within a trial. I mean, obviously, I cover the trial for the different TV networks. But if I had to bet, I would say we spent as much time talking about the financial crimes as we did the actual murders. So I think, you know, there's at least the real possibility that an appellate court takes issue with that and reverses the case.
Reverses it back to another trial or reverses?
Another trial. Okay. Yeah, another trial. Just, I mean, again, you never know, but sometimes on appeal, you know, it's a mere formality. The appeal is going to be denied. But I think Murdoch, obviously sophisticated. He's got very good lawyers. He's got a puncher's chance on appeal that most murder defendants do not.
I think the question a lot of people would have is, okay, does he have the funding to continue fighting in his own defense with attorneys that are not just, assigned by the state? Obviously, everything that he has, for the most part that we can see, has been seized. But is there more money there? Are there more ways for him to continue funding his own defense and possibly appeals?
Potentially. I mean, it comes from a family of money. I mean, it's not, even if he doesn't personally have money, other folks who obviously aren't involved in murder, they can pay for his defense. He's obviously a sophisticated lawyer himself. You know, what I would have done if I were the prosecution, and it ended up working out, I tip my hat to those lawyers there in South Carolina. They knocked it out of the park. That was a very difficult circumstantial case. I think there's a good chance they would have lost it had Alex not taken the stand and testified so poorly. I mean, it kind of goes back to that hubris that we talked about with a Lori Daybell. Sometimes these defendants think they can talk their way out of it. And we know the jurors did not like his testimony. But I think that the safe thing to do if you were the prosecution is maybe you would have tried the financial crimes first, get the conviction. That way, all the other sort of prior bad acts evidence, I mean, he's a convicted felon, you get in a lot of time because he stole millions of dollars. Then you come back, you prosecute the more difficult murder case. I mean, I understand why they did it the way they did. The optics are really bad to try the less serious case first. But now you do have those appellate issues. But again, I think that it's not going to be a very expensive appeal. And the fact that he's going to basically die in prison, he's going to take a shot at appeal. We know he is because his attorneys have already filed a notice of appeal.
With the financial crimes trial that will come up at some point and how long appeals could take, even if you were to be granted a second trial in the criminal murder case, by that point in time, wouldn't it be very likely that he will be convicted of all the financial crimes at that point?
I think so, especially because he took the stand and admitted to committing all of them. So he doesn't really have any defense on the merits for the financial crimes. So I fully expect him to be convicted in that case.
And then likely no matter what, even if he was able to get another trial on murder, he would still be serving life in prison for the financial crimes, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
It's essentially a life sentence given Murdoch's age and the millions and millions of dollars he stole. And, you know, there's all sorts of enhancements and aggravating factors when you're stealing from your client and you have a fiduciary position and all these types of things. Every state has those enhancements. So he's going to be looking at decades in prison just for the financial crimes alone, regardless of what happens in the murder case.
What would the purpose be of trying to go back on the murder case and get another trial, even if he knows he's going to be there forever? Is it simply just on the record not being the one that's marked as killing your family?
Yeah, I mean, apparently Alex wants to clear his name. He said that a lot, even during the sentencing. He didn't really say anything because he wanted to preserve his right to appeal. I mean, he apparently has no problem admitting to being a crook and a liar and stealing money from clients, but he wants the world to believe that he did not kill his wife and son. So that's sort of a personal mission for him, which is why I think he's pursuing that appeal in the murder case.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Nima Romani, thank you so much. He's president, West Coast Trial Lawyers. Thank you so much for your insight. Hey, if you want to comment on anything we're talking about, we'd love to hear your voice. We take your calls throughout the week. 888-554-5537 is the phone number. 888-5-KILLER is the easier way to remember that. You can call 24/7 and weigh in with your feedback. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.